welcome to Elevate Today podcast. We are in a brand new studio with the one and only king of the podcasting world, Daniel Gonzalez. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Yes, it is the very first episode.
I'm just kidding, Hannah. I love you. I'm so happy I'm here.
I know. I could tell in your one comment. First episode in this new studio. How does it feel?
I like it, actually. I like this. Well, I remember when I helped you move in last week. Was it last week?
Yes, it was last week.
Yeah, I just like the space for you. It's really doable. There's so many spaces for you to do stuff here. And we were kind of brainstorming about it, like even last week. There's a lot of opportunity here.
You heard me brainstorm for like an hour straight, dude, nonstop. Yeah.
I was even overwhelmed. I'm just like, Jesus, this is a lot. And you were like telling me too. You're like, am I saying too much? I was like, no, but it really was.
This is why I keep my thoughts to myself. But
well, sometimes you need to say it.
It helped to just let it out, like to just word vomit. And we audio recorded it too, because that was also like my journal processing.
You audio recorded?
Yeah, I told you that because I needed to remember those ideas that I was sharing with you so we can execute at them, but also so that I can just kind of feel it and see if it still resonates after the second time.
How often do you think about it?
Every day.
Yeah. Keep you at night? Keep you up?
Nothing keeps me up at night.
Really?
To be honest, yeah. Like, if I want to sleep, I can go straight to bed. I just, like, because I don't really make time for sleep like that. But the thoughts that I was sharing with you that day that you helped me move in, I think about that every day. Mm-hmm. I think about, like, these things that I feel. Because it's more than thoughts, they're feelings. And I'm like, that makes me feel alive inside. And I just feel obligated to go after it.
Yeah. Is it kind of overwhelming a little bit?
Yes.
Even currently?
Yeah.
Everything that you're doing?
Well, overwhelm, no. Because I'm just not doing certain things.
Like?
Posting my podcast reels. I took a week off from posting like an actual podcast. And like we discussed before, that's because the mission of this podcast is bigger than posting an episode a week. And I feel like I wanted to really feel what the mission was of why I started Elevate Today podcast, like bring that back to life in my heart and my soul and reintroduce things as we're reintroducing this new space, this new look, having a new studio and just setting the tone different.
It's kind of crazy because like we were talking off air in the kitchen and I asked you, I was like, do you think you don't provide that like that value even with your guests? Like, do you feel like you're not watering your podcast right when it comes to your guests? You're gonna make it at least seem like I'm the alcoholic here. No, but like, you know what I mean? Like, do you feel like you're not providing that service? Do you feel your guests are not?
No, I think it's personal. I think that I provide my whole heart to my guest that comes. Like, I give them my undivided attention. I try to be prepared and sharp and ready to just give my heart and my soul, because it's like it comes naturally. I love every interview I've ever done. It gives me life. I just think that for me, I don't want it to become so routine where I forget about the mission. And so like we talked about before, like we need a system, but I want to make sure that that system has my flavor to it, where it comes back to like actually elevating people's lives, not just having like a simple Elevate Today podcast, but like, how are we actually being effective? Mm. How are we actually having guests share like their real stuff, their real story to help people just by listening? That's the power of words. That's the power of communication.
Well, like say people are very, what is that word called where they're very, it's not coming to me right now, but they have a short attention span. They don't really have time. A lot of people don't really have a lot of time to interview or listen to an interview that's an hour long, right? Mm-hmm. So they would like to watch clips. They would like to hear like a short form of audio, so on and so forth. So it's just like a little highlight. It's like literally just a highlight clip. That's what kind of like reels are and TikToks are and short form mm-hmm. content is. But it's just distributing it out there because like I said, people's short-term attention span is just very, very small. So how can you hook them? You know what I mean? Like, what can like you say, like say like even, I mean, one of your TikTok videos on my page got removed because you said Andrew Tate.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's a hook though.
I'll say him every day. I don't care.
But that's a hook though. You see my point though? Like what makes people, what can you say that's going to like, what did she say? How did she say it? this and that? Like, are you going to be controversial? Are you going to be inspirational? Like, what's the whole component? What's the whole concept that you're trying to like distribute out there? I think that's the thing. But I feel like for me personally, you've been doing it. That's why I'm like not tripping about it, because mm-hmm. you've been on it. Yeah. I think you stress yourself out when it comes to the content part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just systems. Yeah. It's just a system. That's all it is. And I said off air, when people don't have systems and they have a project or a business, you don't have a business, you have a job. Mm-hmm. And you don't want like anything that you're doing to feel like a job, especially a job you don't like.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be like when you talk about your podcast, you have all this passion for it. You're like, oh my God, I love it. I love the people mm-hmm. that I have on. It's like, you got to express that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't talk like it's like overwhelming or it's a headache or, yeah. oh my God, it's too much. Like, cause it's like, I look forward to listening to it and watching it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. yeah, I just don't feel like you should be overwhelming yourself. I really don't. That's why it's just so surprising to me all the time. It's weird, like when I hear it, because I'm like, you're doing it. Like, you're yeah. delivering the message. You know what I mean?
I just know how much more there is to share. And even just reaching out to guests or promoting things well. When I did my podcast with Coach Bobby Bluford, he was talking about not half-assing anything. He was saying, no, we don't have but anything. He was trying not to cuss just a little bit. But it's true. I realized that where I see this podcast going with the culture, with the people that I want to get on, with the message that's being promoted, it's so grand to me. It's so big to me that I realize that within my own behavior, I am half-assing it. Like, something needs to change. That's why I took the time away, because like right now, I realize I want my podcast to blow up. I want it to grow. I want to have sponsors. I want to make money from this. I want to be able to be positioned in a way to do this podcast in complete excellence in all the time. But I have to realize that there's going to be sacrifices and things I have to decide now. Mm-hmm. Do I want to be controversial? Do I want to tell the truth? Do I want to be more fluffy and go with the flow and just agreeable? But the truth is, I want to be truthful. Because the truth sets you free. Honesty. Even though I could get canceled, even though I can get less views, even though that can prevent me from getting the sponsors that I want, I just think about the young people in my life. Mm. I think about the young people in my life that could look up to me, that could see me in a special light. And I think, you deserve the more truth. You deserve the truth more than I deserve a sponsor that doesn't want someone speaking controversially. I think I can see their faces in my eyes, and I'm like, I will not be a little bitch because I don't want to get canceled when I have people that need to know the truth, that need to hear controversial elements of different things going on in the world. I only want to bring forward the truth that aligns with the best interests of our hearts.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be someone that's disagreeable. It's not my personality. I love agreeing. I love getting along. I love good vibes and happy times and whatever. But right now, truth is more of a need than it's ever been. Confusion is just all over the place. And unfortunately, I love the people in my life, young and old, far too much to have a speaking platform and choose to take a path of more like agreeableness, even though I've wanted to, and I have, and I want that path. But as I continue to get more guests, like, I realize I have to press into the fact that I need to ask harder questions, and I need to get the truth to satisfy the listeners. Like, what do we need to hear? We need to be encouraged. We need to hear the truth. We need to be reminded that this life isn't so easy, and that the fight and battle that we're on, we're in it together, and that there's a mission that we're on, and all we need to do is just be on the same mission for good. Whatever way that looks like for everyone's individual expression, and knowing that there's going to be an enemy, and that's not a bad thing. That means you're fighting good. Once you get an enemy, that means you're fighting good. The enemy could be insecurity. It could be fear of expressing yourself. It could be shyness. It could be insecurity. What are they looking at? What if they think of me like this? And like, the thing is, like, when I backtrack on my podcast, like, sometimes it's because I'm feeling insecurities. Like, I'm feeling like, I don't want to show my face. I don't want to be out there. I just want to be mysterious and just not exist for a little bit.
It's kind of hard for having a podcast.
It's kind of hard for having a podcast. And that's why I'm like, okay, Hannah, you're not choosing that route.
Yeah. We'll say, like, all that you kind of said, you said something about, like, asking harder questions, but it does take two to tango. So, like, if you do ask a hard question to somebody, are they willing to answer it? Like, say, what if you did a solo podcast and you ask the audience who was listening a question and you're like, let me give my little description and what I think about it. That's kind of like you're putting your willingness out there to kind of like, oh, I'm going to answer this for you guys.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people that you may have on or that I may have on don't really have the willingness to be able to like, oh, I'm going to risk this, what I have to say on this platform and just like say, forget it. Like, why not? Let me just risk it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, they're not. A lot of people are daring and a lot of people are not. So it takes two to tango. But your conversations have been great. And I'm very critical, you know, to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always happy when I get to listen to your podcast. It's great. It's awesome. So I don't really have like, say, critiques when it comes to your specific podcast or your guests. Because you do great and your guests do great. I just think it's like the showing up part.
Yeah.
That's all. That's the only thing. Like, mm-hmm. But it's also like what you said, that the sacrifice part, that's, I don't like to say that's the hard part, because to me, that's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I feel like sacrificing gets such a negative connotation because it's like, oh, you're putting things on the side that you want to do. But I'm like, well, then how important is the mission then?
Mm-hmm.
What's more important? Drinking with this person every other weekend and wasting time? Or the mission, what's more important? So is sacrificing a really negative thing to think about?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, because I feel like when we sacrifice, it actually feels really good when you know where you're going.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sacrificing already sounds kind of like, ooh.
But, yeah, and you have to realize, too, that I barely got a taste of freedom.
Oh, yeah.
So the nature of leading with that integrity of having discipline to show up, it's like, but I barely got a little taste of freedom. Sometimes I just want to be stupid and foolish and have fun and forget things and just like be free.
Yeah.
But then like I have to constantly remind myself, like, sure, you can take this time off and have the whole day to yourself because it doesn't matter if you don't show up.
Yeah.
Like I could totally take that route, and I do, and I have, and I can, and I probably will sometimes, but like the mission is starting to become so real to me. And like I told you that I moved, and this is our new podcast studio space. The truth is I'm constantly like reminded, it's like I have to choose. I have to intentionally decide, because there's no one around me influencing me to do one or the other. But the mission is completely worth committing to, even once I have to give up that entitlement of laziness. We all get a certain amount of downtime and lazy time. That downtime and lazy time that I get has to go to this, because mm-hmm. I have to work. I have to handle other business. But the downtime and free time comes here, and I wouldn't want it any other way. I'm just still preparing myself for the discipline that comes with doing what's required, and it's worth it.
Yeah. I think I saw a clip of a young woman. That's kind of weird to say. A young woman, like she was kind of like saying like how she posts all the time. And she was like, it's an example of like how I show up for myself and for my business.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an example. But she was like, this is just like a taste of what I do. It's not like the full length of what I do.
Yeah.
So, and to me, like that's a pure example where it's, I was kind of like saying too, like there's a lot of people out there like that post other people's content, but they don't create their own.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's just kind of like, it's great to promote other people. Don't get me wrong. Like I do that all the goddamn time, but I also have a platform. Nobody's promoting my shit as much as I will.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to be that term again. You have to be your own cheerleader. Mm-hmm. You have to be your biggest cheerleader. Cause if you're not, like who else is going to really support you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. So yeah. While other people prioritize, oh my God, my favorite nutritionist posted a new clip about plants.
Yeah.
Great, but what about your content? Like that should be a bigger priority, is your brand, your mm-hmm. personal brand, because that's how you enhance the mission, is promoting your shit, not everybody else's so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to follow the right people, but it's also great to promote the right people and great content, obviously, but it's the weirdest thing in today's society to put yourself first. But that is, I will praise that every day of my being. You have to put yourself first, because that's how you really help people. Like that term where it doesn't take a lot of money to actually help somebody, but it takes a lot of money to help a lot of people, you know? And it's unfortunate. I mean, can we help somebody like by doing a simple good deed? Absolutely. But if you really want to make an impact, unfortunately, that's a lot of money. If you really want to go build homes for the homeless, if you really want to go like feed people and give people clean water, that takes a lot of money. And that's how you help a lot of people. And it's unfortunate, because I know society praises that too. Money's not everything, but money's a problem solver. And if you looked at it more that way, you probably do a lot better in life.
Yeah.
But if you have a hateful connotation towards money, you're always going to be working for it, when in reality, it should be working for you.
Yeah. And like, I actually think it's okay to say that money is everything. Like, we can't choose the currency that we use in this time of existence, but money is what we call the currency. And like, it could be anything at any given time, but all you have to do is have enough of that to solve your problems and you're good. Okay, yeah, I'm going to get a good amount. Not because I like having bougie stuff. To be honest, the fanciest thing I'm probably into is Lululemons, which I'm not as into because they don't have 100% cotton, and media equipment for my podcast, and maybe like new like bed sheets or something, like where it just makes me feel cozy and stuff. I don't have bougie needs.
Yeah.
But I know that to actually make an impact in society, you have to have a certain amount of money. You want to know something actually that freaked with my head? I was in ministry 2 years ago, completely committed to that life, and I wanted our ministry to do some fundraising for and like work with victims of sex trafficking, which has come up a lot lately. And this officer invited me into his space where he was telling me about what they deal with victims of sex trafficking, specifically street level prostitution. And he was saying, if you actually want to help these women get out of this life, you can't if you don't have money. It's not, oh, good heart, like, give your time, give your service. You can't if you don't have money. And I love the fact that he was that direct, because I needed that. It's like, you're right, I have a good heart, I want to help people. But if you don't have that work ethic to make money, then you're not feeding any girls that want to come off the streets.
No. Sad, right?
And what use are you? Like, I get it, money's not everything, but you could help someone who wants to try a different lifestyle when all they've known is street level prostitution. Yeah, there's going to be the trauma, the new living situation, the normal lifestyle to eat food and live a life, and then it's the process of finding a job. It's not easy to get out of that, but you're literally so freaking worthless if all you can do is provide some time and attention. That's a child. If you are capable to make money, then you must. Not because you should get the newest bougie thing, but because like that's just simply how you help people. Yeah. Like once you get chances to help people, you realize like it's not an ego thing. It's not a, I want to be better. It's like, I just have to help my people. I know too many people to be useless.
Yeah.
To and not contribute to what matters.
And that's the best thing, is to be of use. Because unfortunately there are people who are just kind of like useless, and that is ruthless to say, but that is the truth. And I don't know. It's kind of sad because like say, Mr. Beast, YouTuber, one of the famous YouTubers to this day, he's like a billionaire, and like how he can give to millions of people and help them so much and like feed them so much is because he has money. You know what I mean? And it's just weird that people still to this day has such a negative connotation towards it, and people still kind of follow the rules and kind of kneel to the masses and kind of like, oh, I'm just going to do what society has always told me to do. And I guess, I mean, hey, if it floats your boat, cool. But there are people who actually genuinely want to help. But also, you literally can't give what you do not have, literally. So when people are like, all I want to do is help people.
Yeah.
Do you actually want to, or are you just doing it for an ego thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like for me, I'm going to be able to be building a new platform, a new podcast specifically to teach.
Yeah.
Because I'm accumulate things better when I'm teaching. And I want to interview established entrepreneurs. But there was also a lot of people in my DMs asking for information. How could I give them my time? I was like, oh, let me be in their ears. Let me answer their questions in video form and audio form with high quality and dumb it down like a five-year-old would understand. So be of service, be useful. Mm-hmm. Could I help an entire, you know, oh my God, like city with clean water and with food? No, I can't. Will I be able to do that in 10 or 50 years? I don't know. Depends. Business is very unpredictable. But mm-hmm. if I stay the course, I have a higher possibility to do so. Mm-hmm. But the mission is first, set yourself free, set your loved ones free, and then show everybody else how to set themselves free. Yeah. Because you cannot give what you do not have. And I feel like that's a lot of people's priority right now. All I want to do is help people. But what do you have to give? Your time? Everybody can give time, but what are you giving them when you're there with them? Mm-hmm. An ear to listen to, which is great. It's phenomenal. But mm-hmm. to really, really leave an impact provides, you need a lot more value to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot. It's a lot of requirements, and it's a huge, huge mission. And I think that's what maybe kind of overwhelms you too, is because your mission, when you talk about it, it's huge. It sounds really big. Even when I'm like listening to it, I'm just like, oh, okay, here we go again. Like it's a lot, but it's in a good way though. Cause stuff like that kind of keeps people up at night. It's like, oh my God, I'm so excited for this. I can't wait to start this. I can't wait to do this. And, you know, start my steps and all this stuff and all the traction, the strategies. And it's a lot. And there's going to be a lot of mistakes. Like I love talking to business owners all the time because it's freaking hard. It's like life. Life is good. Life is bad. Life is a struggle. Life has its happiness. It's very wavy. Yeah. But a lot of people like, and we've had that conversation before. I'm like, Hannah, do you just want to be a mom? You know what I mean? Like, I was like, Hannah, maybe you don't want to do this stuff. Maybe you just want to be a mom. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, because but I was also telling you that too. Like, hey, I understand you're a female. You are. Like, I have to communicate you with it very differently the way I talk to, like, say, a male business owner. You yeah. know what I mean? It's different. But I would say your ambition is very manlike. It's very like, ooh, it's very like masculine. Cause you're like, you're a go-getter. You want this. You're like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of females don't talk the way you do. And that's probably why I gravitate you towards so easily. Cause I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Cause I'm a man.
No.
You're like, I'm drawn to you cause you seem like a man.
No. Cause I'm like, cause you're literally like the girl version of me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a weird way. But you are. And I like that. I'm like, oh my God, like we have like the same mindset, but mm-hmm. she's just a female. And that's nice to know because most of the girls I know, they're not talking about anything. So therefore I'm just kind of like, ugh, I don't really care about the next party. I don't really care about
yeah.
this and that. Like it's kind of a waste of my time, energy, frequency, everything. I just don't want to hear any of that stuff. But yeah, I just, it's a lot, but I just, I don't know. It just comes to the decision, like, if we really want to do the work or not. And it's a hard question because there are a lot of people who are meant for it and there are a lot of people who just aren't. And guess what? Both are okay.
Yeah.
But the one thing that you shouldn't do is complain about it. Like mm-hmm. when people say graduated, have a 9-to-5 and are happy and like taking care of their families, paying the bills, and going on family vacations and literally like happy married couple with kids, you did it. Great fucking job. Shout out to you.
Yeah.
But what's stupid is to follow the norm, do the whole what society tells you to do, get a 9-to-5, get a degree, and be at a job you hate and be married to a fucking person that you don't even like, then you did it wrong.
How do you know when you're married to someone that you don't like?
Eesh, I mean, I'm not married, so that's kind of hard to say. But I mean, I've been with somebody say, I don't like.
Because they DM me.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not even has to do with me. It just has to do with their partner at home. They're not giving them that same energy. Stay. They got stale. They got complacent. And that's what happens when you. I mean, in my situation, I've had a lot of married females reach out to me because their husband stopped. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing, but that's what I think. Because I feel like it's easy for us to cheat when the partner just doesn't give a shit about it anymore. Like, if you're, say, somebody's husband was going to work and coming home tired and just goes to sleep, doesn't even touch his wife or look at his wife. Women want to be stared at. Women want to be touched. Women want to be loved. Women want to be cared for.
Yeah.
And if you're not providing that for her, bro, she will find another man who will give her that kind of energy. And who do they go for to people like that? Like me. And I don't like that.
Like me.
No, and I hate that feeling, though, because I'm like, damn, dude, this guy's not doing his job. Mm-hmm. And I was like, and I'm kind of like reminding some of these females, I'm like, I am not your knight in shining armor. Your husband is at home. You should be taking care of that. Like, I am not that guy. I was like, I get it. You're seeing me as a fling. Like, you might find me attractive and you kind of want to test it out. Oh, that's cute. But no,
yeah. It's not. When you tell me those stories, I'm like, yay, Daniel. Like, he's, but then I'm like, no. Dang, I can't believe that. Man, some of these guys' wives are really out here. No, hitting
it's
up.
Psycho. And even like, say, you know, people who are pregnant or people who have kids, it's kind of scary. Like, people are willing to risk it all just for a quick nut. That's psycho. It's pretty scary. But like, that's how powerful sex is. Literally. Yeah. Those little tiny options on our bodies, the vagina and the dick. Literally, those little things on our bodies, how good they make us feel. And we're really willing to risk it all just to feel good for 30, 45 minutes.
If you're lucky. What's so funny is I actually get to go into this topic more.
What do you mean? I feel like you always got to, honestly. Yeah. What's the difference between that and that?
Well, nothing. But to be honest, I just think like, oh, okay. Like, understanding good and evil. Oh, we have to talk about sex because that's fair. That's open to good and evil.
Yeah.
The good people should have lots of sex. The bad people should have less. Well, they have preference of having worse kind of sex. And to be honest, I think that this is one of the factors that separates good and evil. I don't think a thief is that bad if they need something. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, work a job, get what you need. But like, if you're desperate and you become resourceful and you don't care about other people, you can just take what you need.
Yeah.
But sex, as soon as you develop certain habits or watch a little bit too much of the wrong kind of porn, not saying there's a right kind, but you watch a little bit too much of the stepdaughter, stepsister, blah, blah, blah. Weird to get into, but we've got into this before.
You and I?
The very first podcast we talked about porn
that we've done together. I don't remember the stepdaughter.
Well, watch it because, no, that's porn. Porn gets very vulgar like that. And so it's like, as we talk about this, I'm like, okay, yeah, to me, I think that your expression towards sex is what identifies you as a good or bad person. Because to me, I could justify a lot of evil in this world, considering we've all committed evil according to God's law. We've all committed evil once we look at someone and want to freaking, you know, have thoughts about them in a lustful manner. As soon as we want to freaking hit someone because they cut us off on the road, you know, those, that makes us a sinner. But the one thing that makes us, that in my opinion makes us like really evil or really not evil, is like how we handle sex. Do you go beyond the person's desire, where you're not meeting them where they're at, but you're going further? Maybe you're using force, you're going for younger people, you're attracted to the wrong things. Well, then you should, I don't know, die, get shot or something. Because to me, I'm like, out of all the evils I've seen in the world, the only true evil is your misperception on how to handle sex. And that's why I think it is important to go into. For the goods, to talk about why we stray and when we're in a married, happy relationship, what makes us have wandering eyes, when we're supposed to be freaking virgins and we're supposed to never have lustful feelings or thoughts, and then we act on them and then we're just freaking screwed.
Yeah.
All of that, we need to be able to talk about it, because Christians hate talking about it. Moral people hate talking about it. It's just like awkward and weird. Then the super lustful people love talking about it. But it's like, okay, so if we're going to talk about it here, then you better not be a freaking whore, because you go too far, you deserve to die.
Fucking ruthless.
True or not true?
True.
Tell me.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You meet a man that touches a kid and you don't want to kill him.
Yeah, dude. Any fucking day.
So you'd kill him?
Yes.
Would you kill him?
Yes.
How'd you kill him?
I'm not going to go into detail, but I mean, there's a... I think Cain Velasquez is a perfect example of like, every parent talks about it. Like you're no parent. I'm no parent. We talk about what we would do to these people, but Cain Velasquez actually did it. He actually tried to kill this man for touching his child. And I feel like that's what every parent would do. My mom is not a violent person, but if somebody were to touch her children, she would fucking kill somebody. Everybody would. That's your cub. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's like, that's just a negative, of definitely a dark subject when it comes to sex. Very dark, but I mean.
I just went there.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, completely understandable. But even like say, yeah, but it's kind of funny. Like when people even say like, oh, I'm not really looking for anything, but yet they are. But yet they're just having, just they want options. Like we're curious creatures. And I think that's also the problem when it comes to infidelity. Mm. It's very easy to look at other people and it's very easy to compare because we're curious. But it's also a muscle to train too. Like, dude, I got a queen at home and I don't really give a fuck about these girls, literally. Because I've done that in the past too when I was in a relationship and I emotionally cheated a lot. And then when you're kind of doing it with these people you don't really care about, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of like, oh, dude, these girls, all they bring to the table is sex and nothing else. Like, if they start talking, it feels like I'm talking to a wall. I was like, okay, this is kind of pointless and useless. So I was like, I'd rather talk to somebody I actually care about. I'd rather have sex with somebody I actually care about. Like the girl who I recently had sex with a couple days ago, shout out.
Dang, Daniel, I love how you do that.
Don't give a shit, dude.
Don't give a shit.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a, yeah.
Wait.
She's a free bird.
She's one of the very few that you've connected with in that intimate manner in the past 2 years?
Yeah.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. Respect.
And what's it called? What was I going to say? She actually DM'd me, and we actually talked about this when we were together. She DM'd me, and she was, like, very passionate about this subject. She literally said, I really want you to go out more. I really want you to enjoy your life more. She's like, she's like, it's good for your happiness. She's like, I feel like you're just in your cave every day, and you need to go out more. Because she messaged me while I was camping with my family that weekend. And it's kind of funny.
I'm out right now.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. But like a lot of people just don't think I do stuff. Like every weekend, I'm with my family. That's kind of playtime for me. Working is playtime for me. Productivity is playtime for me. Like all that shit that kind of brings me happiness. But I just feel like a lot of people don't understand that. But she also said you should be dating more and you should be going out more. Mm. And I was like, I agree with that, but I also agree with me doing it with the right people. I don't just want to date a random fucking chick. I want to date a high quality woman like her. She's 10 years older than me and she's very, very high quality. And I'm talking to her like a full grown adult. That's amazing. And she's a full grown woman to the point where she's not really worried about, oh, maybe I'm loving him a little bit too much. Maybe I'm grabbing him a little bit too much in these areas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is the thing. She knows exactly what she wants and she's fucking going for it. Same thing with me. And I feel like it's so crazy to have that comparison when it's like when I'm dealing with an older woman and dealing with, say, like a younger woman, it's like the younger ones are more like, hey, do everything to me. I'm just going to lay here. I'm not going to do nothing. Your fucking face. But you know what I mean? But it's also like talking to a fucking wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's just a big difference, I would say. Like, I feel like there is a good way to have sex, and it's just simply just do it with somebody you care about. And it's kind of weird that people need to understand that, like, even like, say you've been with your wife for like 30 plus years and you see this hot young girl who's just out of nowhere and she's like macking on you at work and just like, goddamn, like, feels good. But it doesn't feel good when you like break somebody's heart for lust. Because guess what, dude? What? She's got a tighter ass than your wife? Cool. She got better tits than your wife? Cool. But she doesn't really bring the real thing. And guess what? That's a short-term dopamine hit. Very easy to fall into. Very easy trap. And that will like literally, that tests a man's discipline. Like, I can tell if a man's disciplined or not just by the way he takes care of his family. Just by the way he shows up for his wife. Like, when I see a married man's wife and she's glowy, I'm like, oh, he does his fucking job. But when I see a wife and she's fucking stressed every goddamn day and you could see it in her eyes, I'm like, bro, you're not doing your job. And that's your duty as a man. Show up for your wife and show up for your kids. And when I don't see that, I'm like, damn, you're kind of like a boy. You know what I mean? And that's why like sex has gone down and it comes with marriages too. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like people, they have to set appointments. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. If I see my wife cooking dinner and the kids are right in the sofa, like watching TV, like, dude, I don't give a fuck. If I'm feeling it, I'm just going to pick her up and like, hey, we're leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just weird. I don't know, but I'm not married. It's kind of hard for me to say these things.
We just think it's so simple and perfect. Because I feel like when you get married, you enter honeymoon phase. And you couldn't see any, you know, they say that your first year of marriage is actually really hard. But you're still in honeymoon phase where you're like, everything's new, everything's fun. But you're 8, 9, 10 and you're like, yeah, I love you. But oh my gosh, go to work.
Eighth grade love.
For real. And it's just like, man, I don't know if that's kind of the a thing that you can't talk about until you're married. But I feel
we're talking about it, honestly. It's
I just think
weird.
That marriage is the prize, though. Like, yeah, you're going to get bored of a person. You should. Once you get to know anyone long enough, you get bored of them. But to simply have one person that you're like, yeah, we're in for the thick and thin, and I'm giving you the gift of my discipline, and you can trust that, that's honor.
Yeah.
But a lot of couples, they don't give that gift of, like, respect and honesty. And that's why a lot of relationships crash. It's just too easy to cheat. It's too easy to cheat. I know every freaking our parents in our generation, like, they would cheat if they had social media the way we did. Mm. It's just too easy.
Yeah.
It's just so too easy. That's why for me, I can't just find some cutie pie that's like great and I'm just, oh my gosh, love him. He's just such a freaking 10. No, he has to be so mission focused. He has to have a good heart, like believe in God, because to face the discipline that you have to face in this day and age, I expect the bare minimum for you not to be flirting with other hoes, for you not to like their pictures.
Well, you say hoes is funny.
But it's like, as a, if I choose you for the long run, I expect the bare minimum of absolute best. Mm. And not best, but just like,
no, the best.
Honor, respect, like, if I'm going to give you that title, then you give that to me too.
Yeah.
And it's mutual. Mm. That's why like marriage is sacred, but it's unfortunate. Like if you were going to cheat, then you shouldn't have gotten married. You should have just laid low and made that casual commitment of, yeah, we'll go on dates here and there, but don't commit. Yeah. Keep marriage sacred, because many do. And when you see it, you're like, dang, like, yeah, that's God's plan for a male and a female to have a sacred, private, beautiful marriage that was required to have a lot of discipline to choose each other, a lot of hard work, a lot of psychology to understand a different human that you're supposed to interact with consistently. That is the prize. That is why you get freaking money sent to you on your wedding day and have the grandest day of your life, because you're choosing a very hard route because this person was worth it.
Yeah.
If you're cheating on your wife, on your husband, then you're just not respectable. No offense, but yeah. It's just, hey, it's okay. You didn't fit the category of respect and like, dang, respect to you, my guy. No, it's just, you're just another person, but it's fine.
It's so hard to kind of speak up about this subject. It really is, because we're not married. None of us.
We're not married, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean we shouldn't be like,
agreed.
We don't know what it's like, so maybe you had to cheat. It's like, okay, now we're one of them, if you know what I mean by one of them.
I also remember why I personally emotionally cheated. Because my significant other at the time got lazy. Like, she stopped trying, like, to, like, do her hair, dress really nice, and just kind of looked like a bum every day. Yeah. And I get it. You should be – there's, like, comfort days when you're just like, oh, fuck, I don't feel like getting ready. But it was a big majority of the time. And it was just kind of, like, annoying. And then when you have, like, say, other females coming at you and they're, like, trying to get at you, it's a big fucking difference. That's why these females want to cheat on their husbands with me, because I bring out a certain energy that they like. Or they're just think they just want a short-term fling. They're just, like, horny or some shit because their hormones are going out of whack. I don't fucking know. But I go based on my experience. Like, when my significant other got bored, or like she just stopped trying, and then I had other females trying to try, that's when I was like, shit, this is hard. Like, I have all these females trying to like get my attention, looking at me with googly eyes. And then I have this one over here who I'm actually with, just like, morning.
That's relatable.
It's big difference. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, my thing is, I'm not married or anything like that, but like, I can't wait to test that within my next relationship and just show up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like your character is everything, right? Reputation is everything. And I feel like if I'm dating somebody, say for a couple of months, so on and so forth, she shouldn't even have the thought of like dancing with another guy. Because I'm doing my job at home, making sure she's listened to, making sure she's cared for, loved for, everything of the above. But I think that's the thing too. People just don't do their jobs at home. And then therefore, when they go on the girls' night or boys' night, that's when bad shit kind of happens sometimes. Yeah. But it's because you're not doing your job. Like I had a, I had somebody, a friend of mine tell me, he's like, dude, I don't like when my girl goes out. La, la, la. I was like, is it because you're not doing your job? Like, are you so insecure that you're not holding it down back at home to the point where she's like so worried about other guys in another room? Like she should walk in the around anywhere and think like, man, I can't wait to get home to my king. Vice versa to a guy too. Like females should be doing the work at home and out at home to the point where it's like the guy's not even tripping about other shit. Like but it's fucking work. Like you'll talk to any married couple. They're like, it's work. It's a decision though too. You know what I mean? It's a decision to say, fuck you, back up. The fuck are you gonna do? Back up.
Same person for years and
think about it, but there's examples out there though. That's the crazy thing. Like my grandparents literally together had made amazing kids. My mother and my uncles, like great, phenomenal people. They're still married. They're still loving each other. Yeah. And my grandpa says to this day, if she were to die, I'm going to die with her. Like, very rare, but it's still there. That's the thing. People just are caught up on all this bullshit. They really caught up on all this shit. It's really, but it's just a decision. Like, I can go on my feed right now. I'm like, there's a girl's butt there. Who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. It's an ass. I've never seen an ass before.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Well, I think sometimes it's like the wrong tone. We're giving hope. Like, yeah, everyone's caught up, but the other side of it is it's worth dreaming and visualizing that perfect person, you know? Like, my mom had a couple of things that were at the top of her list that she wanted out of a man. She wanted him to go to church with her on Sundays. That was a really important thing. She wanted him to be great with kids and, like, a good worker. But those two things, so when she was in high school and she was dating my dad, he was a church going man, Catholic. And then when she first seen him or met him or saw him, whatever, my dad was carrying, my cousin. And so she got to see my father in that, like, state. I'm good with kids. Yeah. Like, and that was like simple for her. She's like, if he's a good father and he's handsome and blah, 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 then like, yes, we need to have those kind of like standards and start dreaming because yes, everyone is probably going to have a hard time in their marriage. And that's just the truth, especially our generation. It's so different. Like, we can't imagine just the simple hard work it requires to be in a marriage. It's just simple, simple hard work. Show up consistently. Yeah, that's what makes it hard. But start dreaming about that person. That, like, make it real in your mind. Because it's going to be hard either way. So see it. Make this person exist. Know their preferences, their views on things, the kind of person that you want to, like, the way you want to feel when you talk to them, the way you want to feel when they listen to you, when they talk to you, the way they express their ideas, their type of music. Like, you have to dream about the better instead of not acknowledging the fact that, yeah, marriage statistics are already against it, but it's still sacred. It still ends up blessed if you get married, because marriage is like that covenant. It's the promise to God that thick and thin. So if you do the work, you'll be blessed and enjoy the fruit. So start dreaming.
Yeah. And your mom kind of had easy principles. She wanted a man who goes to church, caring with kids, and handsome. Very easy.
And hardworking.
But also, what are people's principles now? I want 6'7", this hair color, this color, blue eyes, huge jaw, like
six-pack bicep.
Yeah, yeah, or guys, too. They're like, oh, I want a 5'1 Latina, short
hair, big lips, fat ass, huge ass,
like ginormous tits. It's like, bro, you're playing God. Just chill. You know what I mean? Like, some of like the great women I've met in my life, just bumped into. Never on purpose. It was just like, oh, shit. Hey. You know what I mean? There was no like, oh, I'm going to move her shoulder a little higher here, then cut her a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not playing God. Yeah. But that's what's people's problem now. It's like, oh, they're not even looking at the principles. They're just kind of looking at like the little things, like, oh, look at her eye twitch. Mm-hmm. Look at her nose piercing. Look at her like lip or something like that. You know what I mean? They're looking at like those kind of crazy little details, yes. Which is like, eesh.
Plastic surgery culture. Change whatever you want culture. Change your mind, change your body, whatever. That's all bullshit. That's wrong. That is a lie. You don't need to change your face. No plastic surgery. You don't need to change your gender to feel better about yourself. You don't have to change anything about yourself. All you need to do is dream big for your life. You want to impact a group? Decide that. You want your dream man? Decide that. You want to make a bunch of money? Decide that. See it and make it real. Stop thinking you need to change yourself to feel better. No, that's like the biggest lie. You need to look at yourself in the mirror until you find something you like. And then you start imagining the best outcome, because it's not how you feel now. It's how you show up for what you want in the future. Because it's like, yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in the short term, in the how I look, how I can draw in people, how I can meet these standards. But as soon as you get caught up in the physical and the change now, do now, make a difference with your body, that's all wrong. We were made perfectly with what we were given, you know, with the same simple basics of have discipline with your health, honor your body, work out hard, move, get sunshine, and just dream. Like, God wants to give us exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask for, but we don't even ask.
Yeah, that's true. Or work for it ourselves. I mean, people, that's the thing. Ask, but you got to do the work yourself too. You got to make that decision, like, oh, I'm going to make that step. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a praying man, but I do believe in prayer. But I'm also a more firm believer of doing the fucking work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like when all I hear is just kind of sit and wait. Mm-hmm. That is, it's kind of a turnoff for me. I'm just like, when are you going to make the decision to do something?
Yeah.
Because that's, you know what I mean? But it's kind of like God kind of lays down that path, but you have to make the steps.
Yeah, that's actually a verse. It's like, we roll the dice, but God determines how they land.
I'm not even, I have never read the Bible. So
you should, you'd love it.
Oh, I know I would.
I think I
would.
You should, because I think that.
No, like, I will. Like, that's the thing.
Your interpretation is going to be cool.
Yeah. Oof.
It would just be interesting, because we don't have to, you know, spiritualize anything. We're going to be like, what did you think about this? It would be interesting. So something that's changed in the past season of my life is I have an intense fear of God, and I have no idea where the frick it came from.
Fear?
Yes.
Isn't God all loving? Why should there be fear involved?
Fear of God is understanding of how powerful he is. Fear is respect. It's like, whoa. It's, oh, crap. It's like, oh, my goodness gracious. It's like.
Yeah, but I don't think you should be scared of him or it or what, whatever.
Well, to be honest, fear of God is more of like a Christian concept. So like, some people that know what it means kind of gets it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like honor, like, whoa. And the reason why we say fear is because it makes you like feel so small compared to him. Like, okay, God, if you want to use me, I want you to use me. Yeah. Or even for my internal journey, it's like, I don't want you to give this to anyone else. Like, I want to be responsible for this blessing. Don't give it to anyone else. Don't skip me. I want it. And I will show up for it. I'll do the work. I'll do the heart work. I'll do the healing that's necessary, because I want to be the one to display that blessing. But like, if I'm living foolishly or living just disregarding him, putting things on my heart, putting things on my mind to share, to feel, to understand, if I just ignore it because I don't want to think about it, he'll choose someone else. He'll give that download to someone else. I don't want to be skipped. And so that's where I get the fear of God, to be like, God, I'm ready. Like, I want to be in the heart posture to receive Like those downloads, like the, and those downloads are the things I told you. Mm. Those weren't just my ideas because I have no idea where they came from. I was just like,
but you got them from your interactions, from the people that you've been coming across. Like you were telling me that too. Like the people, like it was like back to back, guest after guest.
All every single guest I've had believed in God, and that's also why I'm taking my faith so much seriously, because the people I've communicated with are all huge believers of God. And I felt so much shifts as if they like prayed for me or something. And I'm like, dang, I'm playing small. I don't want to play small anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play big. I'm going to do my work and partner with the magic force of spiritual God, you know, beyond third dimension, and see what happens. Because so far, it's gotten me pretty far. I just disregarded my faith for the past 1 year. Mm. And I'm over that. Just because it feels so real in my heart.
Yeah. I mean, I know we talked about that on the podcast too. It's just, you know, make sure your actions are pure with intention and just show up. Like,
but it has to be connected to God.
Is that not your message though?
That's what you feel it. You know what? When you feel it, people don't think of things and just want to share. It's like, it's a download. It's different.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like, I mean, you're in the podcast. Maybe sometimes you have to like, sometimes we are focused on getting ready to answer the question or ask the question, when really we actually have to kind of sit and just stick to like what the person is saying and really, really be present, mm-hmm. you know, and say like your guests, a lot of brilliant guests have been coming on, right?
Yeah.
Their intentions and their principles and their actions, they have God in them. You know what I mean? But I guarantee you've had somebody on your podcast who doesn't, but still has good principles. But having God is an enhancement. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. like the five people that you were talking about, how they were all like believers in God, so on and so forth, and their actions carry it, right? And yeah. so do yours. So therefore, that's why I feel like it's strange to say I'm fear, because like it's like everything that you do, it's almost kind of like accepting already. You know what I mean? You're like in acceptance. So there shouldn't be a fear of God. It's just like you should be happy that he's just kind of giving you strength to keep pursuing.
Yeah, fear of God is a Christian slang phrase.
Okay.
Fear of God is like, dang, like, yeah, I definitely respect the plans that I feel he's putting on me. And we say fear of God more of an honor and reverence. But yeah. But it really is a Christian phrase. I shouldn't say fear of God, but when I say it, it feels like how I'd use that phrase in the past. Mm. It just fits. But to be honest, I agree. I'm like, I don't fear nothing. And God's yeah. like the last thing I would fear. Like that's my, you know, that's not something to fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the phrase.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. To be honest, like we should actually like, I should explain that to you, but.
No, I understand the concept of like yeah. what you're saying, because like the, how powerful and mighty he is. There's fear there, but I feel like what people say at church and all love, all the, you know, forgiving of the sins, so on and so forth, that doesn't really sound fearful to me. Like when I think of God, I don't really think of fear.
Not fear though, I'm telling yeah, you, it's yeah, the
yeah.
phrase.
Yeah.
Because I don't fear anything. Yeah. Period. Maybe like a black widow literally biting me. Sounds terrible, and a snake. I don't fear a lot of things. Reverence.
Yeah.
Fear of God is like knowing that, whoa.
You know, it's so weird when people even like say bold statements when it comes to God, meaning Epictetus, a very, very old philosopher back in the day. I believe he was the teacher of Marcus Aurelius from afar.
Oh, wow.
Big deal. Epictetus is a phenomenal, phenomenal Stoic. He had a limp, meaning his leg was pretty much like dead. You know, so he was always walking in crutches. And there was a soldier that chained his leg and it was hitting him. And he was like, why aren't you screaming? Why aren't you yelling? You know, why aren't you telling me to stop? And he was like, you can't break my will. And he's like, I'll chain your other leg and break your other leg. He's like, you can break my leg, but you can't break my will. He's like, not even God can break my will. I was like, fuck. When I read that, that was a letter that he wrote. And statements like that, it's just like, that sounds terrifying. Like that's like fearful. Like a man like that is like not afraid of that. Like that's like scary, but that's a bold statement. You know what I mean? That's a huge statement to like almost challenge the higher power, which is, that's scary. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I like how daring that is.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Like how he's not afraid of somebody beating him and willing to injure his body and say, you can't break my will. Not even God can break my will. Good luck. That is insane. Like, that's why the practices of Stoicism has attracted me so much, because it's what everybody should practice. Like, a good principle from the Stoicisms, like the Stoics, they talk about stop reacting off things that you have no fucking control over. Those are old lessons written thousands of years ago. And guess what? They relate so well to today.
Yeah.
But people are still like reacting off things that they have no control over. Crazy. It's insane. And these philosophers have been writing these letters as reminders for the people like us, but nobody's listening. Even in the Bible gives so many lessons. Nobody's listening. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, people don't want principles anymore. They just want bullshit. And that's a shame. But you got to believe in something. You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know how or whatnot, but you got to believe in something. But there is something out there, and it's crazy that there is. And it's, you know, it makes you think about it, but I don't know. Hard to describe too, because I am not a study in that realm. I do not attend in that world very often, but I was raised in it, and I'm a man of faith, and that's, I feel like, to me, that is good enough.
I think that's the best thing, to keep it simple. Like, God is real. Believe, however, pray, however, figure it out, however, read Bible, go church, try different churches, and just don't think that there's a way to be so wrong in your pursuit, but that it's a journey.
Yeah, God is real, devil's real, angels are real, demons are real, witchcraft is real, all that shit is real. Like, it's scary, you know, like that we have, those are things that we have no control over. I was kind of talking to one of my good friends on a podcast recently. We were talking about our worst fears, and he was like, anything that has to do possession, like, that you have no control over that. You have no control over being possessed. That's terrifying. And my grandfather performed exorcisms. That's insane. Jeez. Yeah. And he's the happiest man I know, you know, but he's also the most blessed man I've ever known, because he served God for his entire life. And my mom would even tell me, like, when they were kids, he would drive to church when he was going to perform an exorcism, and he would come out sweaty. That's insane.
The spiritual realm is crazy.
Like, that's scary. That is terrifying. Like, even when I watch a scary movie, I'm just like, shit, I'm staying up tonight. It's terrifying.
Just to not sleep.
It's terrifying. No, I'll literally think of scenes from a movie. I'm like, oh, I'm not sleeping tonight. Because I get scared. I'm a scaredy cat. And those...
That's why I don't think I watch those anymore.
No, they're fucking terrifying.
I don't think I do. Maybe It, like the clown. That's, I think, stupid. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Or like Split, where it's psychology related.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because it really makes you understand different mental disabilities that we don't see. Other than that, though,
not when people are like, oh my god, I have anxiety.
People watch scary things and they wonder why they get nightmares. I'm like, you opened the door. Do not be a fool to your own decisions. And I just don't want to see certain things right now, so I don't want to watch it. But to be honest, like, before I would be down to watch anything, because it's fun, it's an adventure.
Scary.
Yeah, but you have to understand the aspects of cause and effect.
Yeah.
If you see that and fill your mind with that, then don't be surprised when you see that and your mind sees that when you're sleeping or when you're by yourself or when you're in the dark. I'm sorry, I can't feel bad for you. You exposed yourself to it.
That's why I don't listen to bullshit rap anymore. Like, literally, I literally don't listen to bullshit rap. Like, I think you were even telling me when we were driving in the car together, you're like, I can't believe you don't listen to this type of music. I was like, I can give two shits about this music.
You don't listen to music, period.
Yeah.
Just Russ.
Well, when it comes to, like, say, oldies, you know what I mean? Get down on it. Like, you know what I mean? As long as I, like, you know what I mean? That I can, like, throw back to. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. But all this bullshit rap where it's like, I got my Glock under her legs, la, la, la. It's like, bro, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's just useless nonsense. I'd rather listen to Russ talking about financial literacy than some guy talking about pussy and guns.
Yeah.
Big difference.
And there's, like, a whole in between, too. Like, you don't got to listen to money or rap, but there's, like, freaking alternative music.
Yeah, literally.
Or, like, some funk, some groovy jams.
Fucking on a dream. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Shit like that. Like, come on. Wow. Unreal.
I already know you're not.
I'm not going to drink it. It's too bubbly. I can't do it. Yeah. Seltzers suck.
I got these.
Not sponsored by White Claw. Oh, we can't say the brand.
Why not?
Because you're shouting them out and they're not sponsoring you.
So well, they don't even support them.
That's why I'm saying don't say. I shouldn't have said their name. You can edit that.
I got these at the store because I'm like, ah, celebration. This is the first time we've drank them.
Why didn't we drink wine? Wine would be better. Seltzers suck. I was like bubbly all day.
I like seltzers. I mean, I got these for like that celebratory vibe, but it's just like, yeah, well, now I'm going to be tired later.
I think wine would have been nice.
Next time.
I actually had vodka soda in the morning today.
With your billionaire friend?
Yes. Millionaire, not millionaire. Billionaire. Jesus. Billionaire.
Same yeah, difference.
He owns a vodka company, so what he wanted to do, we drank. We had the podcast by his bar, and he gave me a drink. And man. I'm not going to be disrespectful and say no. And I finished the entire thing, and I was hot.
You were just saying, I need to take off my jacket.
I was buzzed. I was like, oh, shit, here we go.
Sky's the limit is all we can sum it down to.
Pretty much.
Sky is the mother effing limit.
Stay fucking consistent.
Anything is possible if you are consistent and work
hard. Stick to the fucking planet. Do not fucking deviate.
Dream big because God is on your side.
Trying to think of something.
Go.
Shit. Shit. Chase towards discipline, not hoes.
Amen to that.
You go.
Do that which scares you the most and fear not.
Fears for pussies. Actually, no. You need a little bit. Yeah. You need a bit. It keeps you sharp. A good amount of stress keeps you sharp.
A good amount of fear gives you courage, because courage is doing what you're scared of and still doing it. Even though you're scared, you still do it. That's courage. So you can be scared, but get done what you have to get done. I am scared of so many things, but I still do it. I feel that like sweat. The belly feelings, the nervousness, the moving fingers, all of it, but still do it. That's courage. And you can't get courage with a little bit, without a little bit of fear.
Financial literacy is the greatest degree of all.
High value discussions coming out.
Soon.
Guys, thank you so much for being part of this very first episode in the new studio. Big things are coming. The conversation is staying grand. We're having phenomenal guests coming on. I didn't want to introduce this new studio, this new space, this new look with anyone else but the one and only Daniel Gonzalez, the one that taught me everything I know with this podcast stuff and introduced me to a world that I'm like honored to contribute my people to, my perspectives to, and what this podcast will have to offer. So thank you for being here. It means a lot, even just in this transition of my life. I'm thankful to have you.
Well, I fucking love you, and I'm blessed to know you, and we have a lot of work to do, and I'm just happy to be here for the fourth time. Damn, back to back, too.
Back to back.
Well, I love you, Hannah, and thank you for having me on.
I love you, too.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. Keep elevating every single day. I mean it. You are destined for so much greatness. You have a purpose. Your life has a purpose. God is on your side. Dream big, work hard, and do anything you set your mind to. Have a lovely day.
Adios. Au revoir. Mwah.
Somebody's drunk. Turn them off.
Oh, that was
great.
Funny.
Podcast.
So great.
A lot of.
How did I tie that?
Look, you gotta tighten it so it's stable. Look at that. What if it did that during the podcast? Damn, you got lucky. Oh, you gotta stop the recording.
Really? Stop it.
I can't.
Why?